If you've ever asked for suggestions for what to watch next, then this podcast is for you.
Okay, go.
I'm Jen Keel.
And I'm Danielle Maldonado. And you're listening to The Stereo Sisters.
We don't have an idiot scale. We're trying to talk with our eyes.
This is borderline so stupid, I don't even want to answer the question.
I'm not going to go to jail for you or anybody.
Something about this makes me feel like a six-year-old who's going to get some candy.
Ooh, you can't handle the truth.
I'm feeling an ambush coming on.
Welcome to Watch This, Not That, the podcast that tells you what to watch next on your favorite streaming source.
Welcome.
Welcome.
So let me tell the story.
Wait.
No, let me tell you how it all happened.
Okay, tell us how it all happened, Danielle.
So we are doing our newest podcast, or most recent one that you're happening to listen to, on a show called Dickinson that you will actually only find on Apple TV. However, if you're happening to also fly on American Airlines, which was where I found it.
Or if you have Verizon.
Where you can get Apple TV for free.
For a year.
And I believe Apple TV also is offering like 3-month trials, things like that.
Exactly.
You have access to this. So meanwhile, I was just on a flight and scrolling through free. And I saw Dickinson. And it has a beautiful, beautiful front graphic. And I was just drawn into it, and I thought to myself, I got time to kill, so let's check it out. And I also knew that because I have Verizon, that I have a year's worth of Apple TV, so if I actually liked it, that I would have access to it.
Let me ask you a question. Did you find yourself drawn to it because you thought maybe it would be like Bridgerton?
A little bit, and I really, really loved the graphic. It was okay. So pretty. The okay. Colors were just pleasing the way that they put it together. I mean, I just have to say that that's true.
Okay. Well, so that's actually why they do things like that. So success.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to give my synopsis and then you can maybe fill in some more blanks because I'm going to do a really general synopsis.
Oh, and also I would like to say that growing up, as much as I would have liked to have thought myself to be a thinker, I was a smart kid, but I was definitely a terrible poet, and I did not do well in English class. I knew who Emily Dickinson was,
right.
But I could have not, I couldn't tell you the difference between Bronte or Dickinson. I mean, I couldn't tell you the difference between Edgar Allan Poe and a Dickinson poem. I mean,
okay. So you probably already one-upped a lot of the population, so it's all right.
Okay, right. And, I mean, knowing who those people are, you mean. Okay.
And I also want to say this part, too, is that we did not agree that this would be what we would watch. What happened is you did watch it, and you said, we have to watch this for our podcast. And I said, dude, it's on Apple TV, and not everybody has Apple TV. And you said, it's really good. Just watch it, and we'll do a podcast.
Right.
So I said, okay.
Correct.
And okay. I did watch it.
Sorry. Okay.
Okay. So this is the story of Emily Dickinson. So you
highly
are
fictionalized.
Told it is extremely, they have taken great liberties with her story, mostly because there's pretty much nothing known about her and what she was like in real life. Because I did do a little bit of research because I knew that I didn't know it 1,000,000,000%. But I did know that we didn't know a lot about her, and I wanted to know, well, really, did we know any of this? And the reality is we pretty much knew nothing.
Okay.
So they really did take great liberties with it. So it's the story of Emily Dickinson, and it is seen from her perspective.
Correct.
She is definitely, she's a poet. She's nothing like what women are supposed to be like during that time. Her mom wants to marry her off, and she doesn't want to be married off, and she wants to just, she doesn't have any belief in marriage whatsoever. And I'm going to stop myself right now, because I realized we didn't even talk about the cast.
It's a great, she's so, right, because it gives you, it opens up, and part of what you get is you get life during this time.
Right, and it's really, I mean, I almost want to say, there's not much to the story other than this is the story of the fictionalized version of Emily Dickinson.
And her family.
And her family and her friends.
Right.
And what their interactions are and what their life is like and the decisions they make or the questions they have about life or, I mean, more the questions she has about life.
And then the way that they interject current things to make it
so
fun.
Right. I mean, that is really right off the bat. You're slammed with two things. The music is current music.
Yes.
100% current. And it is like, I don't want to say it's not dance
and even the
music.
Language
it's
is just, current.
Yeah, it's like current pop music. No, not even.
It is.
The language is current, and it is crazy weird in the beginning. It's like jarring almost because they are literally speaking like you and I are speaking right now. They would use the word literally.
Yes.
It is just, you want them to be formal. You start watching it and you keep thinking that it's going to turn formal.
Right.
And it never turns formal. It's
right.
always just, not just how we're speaking now, not just current language, but what am I trying to say? But it is
modern.
Yeah, it's modern, but it's familiar.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's familiar language. Okay, so.
All right, so this actually came out in 2019. The first episode was November 1 of 2019.
So does that mean there isn't going to be another?
There is. My understanding is that the second season was released January 2021.
Okay, that's awesome because this is what happened. We said, let's watch. You had only watched two episodes and you said, hey, you got to watch it. And I was like, okay, and we'll do a podcast after watching two episodes, which is kind of lame, but whatever. But I wound up watching a third episode because after the second episode, I wasn't thrilled. I loved the first episode.
Yes.
The second episode, I was like, eh. And then I thought, I need to give this more of a chance because I don't feel like I'll give it a fair shake if I only watch those two episodes. So I watched episode three and I was like, oh my gosh, I love this episode.
Yeah.
And then I watched episode four.
Oh my gosh, I did not watch episode
four. It's
okay.
I just couldn't stop and I was waiting for you to be like, hey, let's come over and do the podcast. So I watched episode four, but episode four was like So I realized that this is really an ongoing story and you have to follow the story. You can't just be like, this episode's and this episode's exciting because the story is... Is your phone off?
Yeah,
I don't know where my phone is. I just
right here.
But where's mine is the question.
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
So you can't just be like, I don't know if I want to watch this because this episode was bad. You really have to watch them all. So let's talk about the cast, can we?
Okay, let's talk about the cast.
So we started talking about Hailee Steinfeld.
Oh, Hailee Steinfeld has the most beautiful hair.
So I was trying to figure out how I knew her.
How do we know her?
Okay, there are two ways that we know her, and it's crazy.
Do we know her, Because she looks like somebody
gosh.
We know.
We know her,
She our friend?
First of all.
Did we go to camp with her?
No, we don't know her like that. I'm sorry. She was in Pitch Perfect, too.
I didn't see that movie.
She was... What?
No, I didn't even see Pitch Perfect.
I thought we had this whole conversation about...
You said
about
my daughter needed to see it, but I never saw it.
Oh, my gosh. I love Pitch Perfect.
Okay, so I don't know her.
Okay, well, I knew her from Pitch Perfect, and in the second one, she's this girl who kind of comes up out of nowhere. She's like... She's a legacy to this group of
girl
singers. Whatever. So this is something that you're going to find interesting, is that a large portion of this cast... are singers.
Really?
Yes. So she is well-known as a singer, and she had a hit with the song. She's had two songs that are top 40 songs. So she did have a hit with the song in Pitch Perfect that she sang. The other thing is that she was the female star in Ender's Game.
I never saw Ender's Game movie either.
Right, the new movie. They made there be a female character as well. And there was a female character in the book.
Yes.
So she was in Ender's Game. But the thing that I realized I remembered the most is that she played Charlie in Bumblebee. Do you remember the movie Bumblebee?
No, I didn't.
Oh my gosh, didn't you see the movie Bumblebee with me?
What's that movie?
From the Transformers Bumblebee. Bumblebee was the yellow bug.
Yeah, but
she was the She was the
car?
Girl. No, she was the girl whose car it was, who saved Bumblebee in the end.
I don't think I saw the movie. No,
are
I
you
didn't see that.
Kidding me?
Well, guess what? You looked familiar to me, but I didn't see anything.
Oh
you were
my
in.
Gosh! I was looking at her and I'm like, "How do I know her? How do I know her?" And here's the funny thing: I loved Bumblebee. Bumblebee was one of not well, a
but
favorite
Bumblebee
movie,
is such
but,
a character. A
yeah,
car that
so
everybody
I loved Bumblebee, but I loved the movie and. And it's funny because I never put two and two together that she was also in Pitch Perfect, but now I see it all. Okay, so anyway, that's who Haley is, and those are the things she's better known for. All right, and then Ella Hunt plays Sue Gilbert, and Sue Gilbert is from Anna and the Apocalypse. She played Anna in Anna and the Apocalypse.
I don't know that either.
Well, it was like this zombie musical, and it was out for a long time. It was, I think what happened was it came out, and then it stayed out during COVID.
Okay.
So that because other movies weren't coming out, so it stuck around for a while. But it was this musical. I totally wanted to see it, but I never did because it was a musical about zombies and it seemed like it must be hilarious. Now I will see it. That's what she's better known for.
Okay.
Okay. And then there's Adrian Blake Ensco. He plays Austin Dickinson, who is Emily's brother.
Right.
He is not known for anything, so this is pretty cool that he gets this role.
Right, right.
Lavinia.
Oh, my gosh. Baryshnikov's daughter.
Yes. So Lavinia, so who they call Vinny also sometimes, her name is Anna Baryshnikov, and she is Mikhail Baryshnikov's daughter, which is cuckoo crazy. She never was a ballet dancer. She started ballet when she was young, but she was too hyper. And they couldn't, she just couldn't do it. So
that must have been so frustrating for him. Oh my gosh.
And what's crazy about that is her, the role she's best known for is another one you're not going to remember, but why she looked familiar to me is that she was in Superior Donuts. And remember how much I loved that show and I kept telling you needed to watch it. It was only on for 3 seasons. And in season one, she was a main character. And she didn't come back for 2 or 3. I don't know why.
But maybe she was too hyper.
Maybe. But in season one, she was a great, she played this great character. She played this like kind of snooty college student who hung out there. And I don't even think she was a college student. She was PhD. And she was, oh, and she was observing them for her PhD. So that was, she was cool. So I totally, she was familiar. I didn't realize that's why. Now.
Oh, yes. Their mother.
Their mother is Jane Krakowski.
Yes.
Who we love from.
From.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Right.
Right. She plays Jacqueline Wright.
Not really here. Jacqueline.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she plays Jacqueline White in Kimmy Schmidt, which is really. I knew her from other things, but I mean, that's such an important, you have to watch Kimmy Schmidt if you haven't watched it. We will definitely do a podcast
about it.
We have no choice but to. And so watch out for that. But you might also know her as,
she's been in so many things.
Well, she was Jenna Maroney in 30 Rock for like how all the seasons of 30 Rock. She was Elaine in Ally McBeal. And I don't know. I mean, I watched Ally McBeal. I don't know if you ever watched Ally McBeal. But she was in Ally McBeal the whole time. So she's been in a lot of things. So you would know her from a lot of different things. Her character was so interesting.
Well, and it was so, I think that was the most jarring watching her speak in everyday language.
Right.
Because she was the one that I was waiting for to, when she started speaking regularly to her children, I kept thinking, wait a second, she needs to be speaking in some sort of formal way. Why is she speaking regularly? It's somewhere, it's like going to break out in some sort of like jubilation or like at some point something had to break because it would just.
And she's so stressed out in the whole thing, too.
All the time.
So it was that just, you did. You expected her, even if it was just because she was going to assert herself as woman of the house, you expected her to speak in a more formal language.
Yes.
Only for that. But yeah, you're right. So then let's just kind of get through this and we can get back to interesting things like that. So then there was Toby Huss, who plays Edward Dickinson.
Right.
And what's interesting about that is he was in a ton of single roles. So there was nothing he was ever the star of. He was a voice in King of the Hill, which we loved King of the Hill. But there was nothing notable when I was trying to see where would we know him from? He was very familiar.
He really was. And it's very strange to me because how they made him look in this with the facial hair.
Right. You don't see, he doesn't, that's not who he is in real life. However, I feel like I've seen him in a character that's had facial hair like that.
Right. I don't recognize him at all. And he looks, I mean, the part where he looks is just, it's perfect. It really is perfect.
And then there's Samuel Farnsworth, who plays George Gould, who George Gould is in love with Emily Dickinson. And there really was nothing he was in before either. There was nothing notable for him. But the one notable actor, which so far, five episodes in, we haven't seen him again, but I'm still going to mention him, is DJ Daddy Cat, otherwise known as Wiz Khalifa.
Oh, yeah. Have you mentioned? He's been in plays, a couple of them, though. Or he's been in, he was in the second episode.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay. He hasn't been in any since then, and I'm episode five. He plays Death.
I love that.
I loved it, too. He was perfect. Perfect.
So was perfect. He also Bumblebee, though? I think he also was supposed to be Bumblebee.
He might have been Bumblebee, but we don't know who Bumblebee was.
But you know who
Bumblebee
you also like haven't mentioned? Is the maid who is Darlene Hunt.
What has she been in? Anything that we would know?
I think she has. She's also like a kind of a one-off kind of. She was in Will and Grace. She was in she was only in one episode. She was in a show called Platonically Incorrect.
Okay, so lame things. If you can't give me something important, then just forget it. There were a lot of actors and actresses in here that were not in a lot of other things. I love that, actually, about these shows. I think the fact that they're making all of these cable shows, I call them cable shows.
She was in six episodes of Parks and Rec.
Oh, really? Is that maybe how you know her? I didn't watch all of Parks and Rec.
Maybe that's why she's familiar.
Everybody was ahead of me on that. And every time I tried to catch up, then everybody would get ahead of me again. And so I just gave up because it was lame and I didn't want to be watching it by myself.
Yeah, she just looks familiar. You know what I mean? She just looks familiar.
Okay, I believe you. I want to get to the show now.
All right.
I don't even know what to say. I don't want to do synopsis. I want to talk about the show.
All right. Well, so if we're just going to talk about the show, I'm all right with just talking about the show, I would like to start by saying, as somebody who doesn't really understand but does appreciate poetry, I really love the way that they show her poetry.
Yeah. The way they weave it in and how they write it on the screen in that gold, like it's almost like it's on fire, like it's burning into the screen.
It's burning into your mind.
Yeah.
Because it makes me want to read poetry.
Oh my gosh, it makes me want to read her poetry.
Right. Because I never liked poetry.
Yeah. And it's what I love so much is you're watching her come up with the poem throughout the episode. So sometimes it'll be like the same line twice because she writes the same line and then she writes the line again with the second line.
Okay, we need to give a little brief synopsis of what this episode
is. Synopsize.
Okay, so the first episode is actually the story of Emily is a poet and you get this wonderful story and you see what's going on in their day-to-day life and all this thing. And
you're making it sound wonderful, though.
It is. I felt it was wonderful.
It was wonderful, except for the fact that her mom basically treated her like a maid.
Her mom treats her and her sister like a maid. She's trying to marry her off. Her best friend, it seems, like wants to marry her. She wants nothing to do with him. Her best friend is marrying her brother because her best friend, her whole family died of typhoid.
Yep.
Right? So her best friend's going to be marrying her brother. It turns out that she's a lesbian with her.
But you don't even find that out right away. So
you kind of figure it out by the end of the episode.
Yeah, this whole show is basically full of spoilers.
Right,
so
this is what it is. And then, all along, she just wants to be a poet and she just wants to write. And essentially, that's all she wants. So her best friend, who is the co-editor of the newspaper at the college, because they're in Amherst, Massachusetts. He says, really? Are you sure? And she says, you know what? I know that my father is against it.
Yeah, well, he wasn't just saying, are you sure? At first, he was begging her to let him publish a piece. And finally, she gave in.
Right.
But she was freaking out about what her father would think. But wait, if you're going to synopsize, I think that you're missing a lot of little pieces, which are the fact that, so yes, her mom is trying to marry her off because she's weird. And she thinks that her father indulges her and allows her to have this time to herself to create.
This is what I don't understand. Her father indulges her to create, but refuses to allow her to be publicized as a thinker. Well, so he wants her to be a thinker, but doesn't want other people to know she's a thinker.
I think that he loves her so much, obviously.
But I don't know which way.
I think it's okay. But so he loves her so much, and I think that he sees the brilliance in her. But the reality is they're in a time where there are very clear-cut rules about what men can do and what women can do.
And he has even written about it.
Yeah, he has written about it. So now he has to live up to those standards because he actually wrote an essay about it. And he is an important person in the town of Amherst. Their family is one of the founding families of Amherst. So he feels that he has this appearance he needs to keep up. And he's worked very hard for it because I don't know if you remember, he said that his grandfather was a drunk and lost all their fortune. And it's taken them all this time to build back up. And I think it was his father because I think he said your grandfather to her.
Yes, he did. He said your grandfather.
Right. So there was that. But then the Emily piece, she's obsessed with death.
Yes.
And it's amazing.
She's waiting for death and she wants, why aren't you coming for me? When are you going to come
exactly.
for me? Why are you making me wait?
Right. And she just said such amazing things about death that were very eloquent. And
was
she
her poetry obsessed with death the way other poets were? Because I remember poets of that time always be obsessed with death, but I didn't think hers was.
No, she was not. It wasn't. And only some of her poems talked about it. And actually what she was more obsessed with, apparently, which was really only relevant, I noticed in episode 1 and episode 2, was wearing white.
Yes.
She always wore white.
And they did. In those episodes, they had her wearing a
exactly.
lot of white.
And apparently that is a true thing, that she did always wear white. So that was really interesting. But she just said some amazing things. I mean, the language, her language is so beautiful. And when she says things, you just are like, I want to remember that.
Yes.
I want to remember that. Well, really what you want to do is you want to read her poetry.
Yeah.
So you just get this feeling where that she lives outside of her family. That it doesn't matter. She gets away with everything.
And it frustrates her mother
to no end. I mean, she...
Almost to the point where you wonder if her mom is her mom and she's not a stepdaughter, but then you realize at every turn, oh, wait, no, yes, that is her mother.
Right. Well, and I think the thing is her mom thinks, once again, the same thing, where the place is in the home. And that a woman's place in the home is to be a good homemaker. And that's the reason to be a wife, is so that you can take care of your husband and take care of your family. And she refuses to hire a maid, refuses to hire any staff, expects them to do everything because that's the value. That's what she sees
as the value that a woman brings to
right,
the home.
Her contribution to the home and the reason why she believes her husband loves her, even. Because if we kind of move forward into episode two, when they hire, so her father does not want her to leave. Her father does not want her to get married and does not want her to leave him. And I really believe it is because he sees her as the only intellectual equal in the house.
Right, because the son is not very bright.
No, he's kind of adult. But he's not, but he is. He's just, he doesn't care. He's more about appearances.
He's not an academic.
He
went to school because he had to, but he really could care less about knowledge.
Right. And so there's that. And then there's Lavinia. And what's crazy about Lavinia, who is the second daughter, is... There's an episode. Well, you watch the episode. So episode 3, when they're going out of town.
We're not talking about that yet. First, let's hit episode 2.
The only reason I want to say it. Okay, so Lavinia is wondering why she isn't getting married off. And that's very upsetting to her. She doesn't understand why they're not trying to find her a husband. Because she actually wants to get married. Where Emily is like, I'm going to be alone the rest of my life. I have no need for a husband at all. And Lavinia is... Really, she wants to be married.
She wants to be a housewife. She wants to
Right. And her mom says the reason why she's keeping her around is because she's the only one who can help around the house.
Yeah. Like, poor Lavinia. Oh, right. My gosh. Okay. So in episode two really was just a story. And I think that's why you didn't like episode two.
But it wasn't
as much.
Just a story. You know what? It was a story about her and Sue.
Right. It was
that's
laying down
where
a huge foundation.
You find out really that they
the
are in
their
love
relationship
with each other.
So yes and no was very interesting because you got more than out of episode three. But let's first lay the foundation of episode two. Because remember, I just watched episode three. So
right.
Episode two, you got that foundation of her and Sue. Remember, Sue is her best friend. Also, Sue is the fiancé of her brother. You also got how badly she wants to gain knowledge.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She wanted, so she dressed up as a man to go see a famous geologist who was coming to Amherst College speak. Because
to
women,
talk about volcanoes.
Right.
Because, and imagine during this time, all you know about volcanoes is stories,
right?
You've never seen a volcano.
Right, or seen it even in a book.
Right, and you have only heard about them and maybe even only in story, not from a scientist.
Right.
So this was
right,
an
even
opportunity.
Just from a fictional story.
Right, and she's saying, how can you not want to know this? Like,
right.
Her brother is completely uninterested. He
right.
doesn't want to even go to the lecture. So she says, fine, I'll go in your place.
And they say, no, you cannot go.
Right. Women are not allowed. And so
Sue's aunt has just passed away, and
she was living in a boarding house,
right.
Remember? And it was the husband of the woman who owns the boarding house. He had just passed away, and she had offered to go through all of his clothes to help pay for her board because she has no money. She's destitute. Her whole
right.
family is dead. So this is how she's going to pay her back. They're going through all the men's clothes.
And so there's this, and so that's part of what some of this show. And so now let's go back to part of the cinematography, if you
well,
will,
right.
of the show.
And it's not, I don't know that it's you'd call it cinematography as much as it's direction.
Right. And this is where, like, they lost me a little bit here. It's like a whole sequence of, like,
them
Madonna.
Dressing up.
I mean, it literally is like, you know, dress
right.
me up, dress you up with my love
yeah,
kind
it's
of stuff.
Totally, it is. It's
like
such
80s.
A music video. It is,
right.
but the music isn't, but the,
it's
yeah.
throw
it
in.
It could be, right?
It
it's
could
poppy.
Be any. It's
pop.
Any pop music you
right.
throw in. They're dressing up with men's
right.
clothes.
And it's
they're dancing
it's
around
It's probably
the room.
Like at least 5 minutes. These episodes are only
yes.
28 minutes
and
long.
And there was another one of those in the episode three where they did the same thing, which we'll get to in just a minute.
Right. But in episode one, the foundation was laid so well with this whole thing with just the whole storyline and understanding the whole story. And then episode two, was that when death came in episode two or was it the end of episode one?
Episode one was when the end of
right. So the end of episode one is where death actually comes. And this is actually a really great part where death comes. And it's so beautiful. So they're really everything in episode one is story.
Yes.
And then in episode two, that's where you get into story that is kind of just groundwork laying. And then music video.
Yeah. And it was just a little.
Well, it was very poppy.
It was too kitschy for
and
me.
And that's the thing. I think.
Or cringy, as my daughter called
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And what
cringy.
I would say about this show is that you are watching something that should be a period piece. And visually, it is for the most part. And then it's not. The music isn't at all. I mean, really, really not at all. And then there are these moments, the language isn't at all.
Right.
And then there are these moments where it just kind of goes
sideways.
Yeah. I guess what I would say is it becomes the word, I know you're saying kitschy and I know I'm saying bubblegum.
Yes.
That's the word I'm looking for.
But I'd also say cringy.
For sure. There are definitely parts that are cringy.
So anyway, it was, you know, I liked the fact she went to the lecture, then they get busted at the lecture.
And it's funny that they get busted, but then she comes home
and
her
dad
is
livid.
Pissed.
He's livid.
Yeah.
And you feel badly, but then he says, please don't leave me.
Right. So then he basically begs her forgiveness. He comes in the room and he's crying and he doesn't want her to leave. He's afraid she's going to leave. He's afraid she's going to get married. And I don't know. I think what I get from that, and I know you're like, I don't know where this is going to go. But like I said, I'm 5 episodes in now, so I don't think it's going anywhere weird. That he just really, she's the only person he connects to in the house. I mean, his wife is just kind of a groveling servant.
Right.
And Lavinia is vapid, and his son Austin is just a boy, who he doesn't even want to be part of the business, doesn't want to learn anything else. He does decide to become part of the business because his father basically says, over my dead body, are you, when they announce their engagement, you're not leaving. They were going to go to Boston.
Right.
Or were they going to go to Detroit?
Detroit.
They were going to go to Detroit. And he was like, over my dead body, I will build you a house right next door. Mm-hmm. He was going to build them a house. And they did decide to stay. So after that episode with the whole thing with her and Sue, and like, now you really know that they're lesbians, and then the whole thing with the music video, basically, let's call it that, I was like, I think I might be done with this show. But
then you gave it another chance.
I gave it another chance because I thought to myself, this isn't fair. Two episodes to decide. It's not like Big Sky. Where Big Sky, you knew where that was going, and you knew it was only going to get worse and darker and
scary,
and you didn't want to think about girls getting kidnapped. This was something where there was a story there, and Emily Dickinson, you know what I mean?
Right.
And Emily Dickinson. So I thought, I'll give it one more chance, and I watched another episode last night.
House Party!
And it was hilarious. It was such a good episode.
Well, and it was so funny. Once again, I found myself thinking, okay, so, like, they're going to throw a party. So now it was in reverse in my mind where I'm like, okay, I'm all ready for the reality of the fact that now, while it's supposed to be period piece, that it's going to be reality. You know, it's going to be set in 2021.
Right.
But then all of a sudden it's a party, and the party, no, it is not a party set in 2021. It's a party set in the right time.
Right. But the thing is, and that's, I think, the whole point, and that's what is at once jarring, but also so cool, is that the motions, the actions, the behavior are period. Mm-hmm. The language is 2021.
Right.
So it's just so odd to watch them behave as if they are in that time period. And yet the words that come out of their mouth
right.
are not. And so she gets opium.
Yes.
And she's
and
just,
talk about peer pressure, man. She's like, you know, your whole family may be dead, but don't act like you are too.
Right. To Sue.
To Sue.
Exactly.
And Sue, you know, to have so, I mean, and everybody in the whole
and they
party.
All did the opium.
All took the opium. And I was just like, this is not going
to
end.
Well, and what's funny, I think also I thought to myself, the family's going to get home and there's going to be a party.
Yeah.
That's what would have happened, like in an 80s movie or whatever.
Right, because parents would come home early.
It is so confusing to your mind to watch this. That's
right.
Like you said, you were expecting it to be a party from now. Or behavior
right,
for
but
now,
it was,
but it wasn't.
There was still, like, everything was set up with beautiful china.
Oh, my gosh.
And all the food
and they
was
were,
laid
yes,
out. They were drinking brandy.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just, it was jarring. And it was fun, though, too. And
yeah.
there was the music, again, was current music. And they were dancing.
But And they did the fancy
but
dancing.
But then they also, then they
And then they
doing,
started doing
right,
funky dancing.
Right, with like the quadrille or something. And then they did a combination of it when they were doing the, what do they call it? It's not a bridge dance, but it's where they all walk through, which we would know as the stroll from
right.
like the 60s, their version of it. And they were doing it more like the stroll, though.
Right.
Because they were doing like funky dancing. I mean, they were twerking. It was just crazy. But normally I would be like, oh, that's so disgusting. If I had seen that in a movie from 2020
yes.
or 2021.
And part of why it wasn't was because they were fully dressed.
Oh my gosh. And they were dressed so beautifully.
Yeah.
The
I mean,
dresses
they
were
fully
beautiful.
Dressed head to toe.
Exactly. And that part was just really fun to me, that whole episode. And at the end, it was sad because Sue and Emily's relationship got found out, and Sue was just like, I can't do this with you guys.
But part of it was, what I was starting to recognize, was that you actually saw that Sue did have feelings for Austin.
Yes. I think she was torn. I think she
right.
really was torn.
I mean,
Sue and, you know, what you learn is Sue and Emily have been friends since they were little. They've been friends
right.
forever and ever and ever and always been together. And the other thing that you learn is that Austin is in love with Sue because Sue was never in love with him.
Right. And Austin has been able to have any girl he wants.
Exactly. He is the most eligible bachelor in Amherst, and absolutely any girl.
But Sue has never wanted him.
Right. And so that's why he wanted her. But what was interesting is he didn't just want her. He was in love with her.
Right.
I think that was very clear that he was in love with her. And I think Sue was definitely torn between the two of them. And so she leaves.
Right.
And she goes to Boston, where she has the opportunity to be a governess. And her whole reasoning for going there was to make enough money to pay her debtors. Because she had three funerals she had to pay for.
Right.
And she had no money at all. So she wanted to be able to pay for that, even though Austin said his family would pay for it. And she just took off and she was gone. And throughout after that...
We don't know anything after that.
Oh, I do.
But I don't. And we said episodes 1 through 3, good night.
Whatever. Good night to you. Then what can I say? All right. I'm going to ask you, do you have a favorite part of the whole show, episodes 1 through 3?
There are some scenes that I really did love. Like, in episode 2, I loved when George saw Emily going into the college all dressed up and he recognized her. And he's like, Emily Dickinson. And she was just like, oh, George, don't tell anybody. She's like, your secret is safe with me. You know, just, there were all those moments. I mean, George is so, he's so wonderful. There's just that piece of it that I just wish, like, he doesn't care. He doesn't care that she wouldn't love him back the way that he loves her. I really do feel that way. I mean, obviously, this is a show.
Well, blah, blah, blah. And I think he also makes it clear to her, I think in episode 1, that he would let her keep writing poetry. Because she says, I don't want to be a wife. Then I would have to be, you know, I'd be a maid.
You'd make me stop writing exactly. At some point. And you know, I mean, who is to say there is always the potential that he could at some point say, you know, why can't you be like the other wives and this and that? And I don't doubt that that would happen eventually in that time period, that could happen.
If it was real.
Right. But I mean, there's just something about the way that he is so enamored with her in such a genuine way that his acting toward her is phenomenal. He really does a great job of showing that. And I think part of what I love about it, too, is just that they are both such academics at heart. And I really love it that they're both, they just love learning and it just shows through in their characters. So I would say, but that scene, that one scene, I keep seeing it when they're walking up the steps into that lecture hall. Like that piece is just burned into my mind. So I really love that. And of course, that scene of death.
That was my favorite, too.
I love that. But I also really, I loved the scene of her dancing with Bumblebee. I don't know what it was.
It was so great because she's like, oh, hello, Bumblebee.
I know. As if she was waiting.
How did you get in here?
I was waiting for you.
I know. And she's like, how did you get in here? And he's like, I came in through the window. So in this scene, they've all been doing opium and she is literally dancing with a bumblebee. It's
full
a giant life-size bumblebee.
And I would have freaked out if you were on drugs like that and a life-size bumblebee came up to you like that. The fact that you could keep your wits together and want to dance with a bumblebee to me means you are all sorts of messed up
but
in the head.
She is so all about nature. Nature is just everything to her. And you actually find out more about that as the episodes go on.
Okay, well, that
about
would
how
explain it a little bit
intensely
more.
Important nature is to her. So I think part of that is to illustrate that her connection to nature is stronger than her connection to reality. That she is more interested in
the world than people.
And I think that that's clear. I don't think that you don't know that by episode 3, you fully understand that she really has disdain for people.
That I think is clear. Yeah. She does not like people.
No. And she just doesn't understand why she can't be left alone.
Right.
She just wants to be left alone. She just wants to write. She just wants to be left alone. She doesn't want to be made to do anything. And the part that we missed too is that night where her dad comes in and is just sobbing and begs her forgiveness and then asks her not to leave. She says, promise me you won't leave. And she says, fine, you know, I promise you, but will you promise me something?
Right.
And that's when she makes him promise they'll get a maid. because she doesn't want to have to do any work anymore. And that is devastating to her mom. Her mom then goes just crying to her dad and says, what have I done? What have I done to deserve this? What have I done wrong? Do I not please you? Do I not cook well enough for you? Is the house not clean enough? She believes it's a slight against her. But I think when she realizes that he did it for Emily, I think she just hates Emily a little bit then. Then that kind of,
right.
She's starting to just realize that, you know, that Emily is going to be there forever and she's going to be competing against Emily for her husband's affections.
Right. And in a twisted way in which she could never compete. Right.
Exactly. And it's funny. So this, you wouldn't let me get to this before. I just want to say this one thing because it just was, it's burned into my brain. When Emily's parents are getting ready to go out of town just for one evening, and by the way, they pack two carriages.
I thought they were going to be gone for weeks.
No. And so their house boy, yes, or whatever you want to call him, says, are you sure this is enough for one night? And that's when you realize they're only going away for one day and they've packed two whole carriages. And he said, well, you can never be sure what you might need. But when they're saying goodbye, Emily's father says, goodbye, Emily. Goodbye, other daughter.
Yes. I heard that too. And that she was like,
I don't think she was. I think if you looked at her more closely, she is hyper aware of the fact that Emily gets everything and that Emily is the only one that they care about. And I'm interested to see what happens to her character, because I just have to say this one thing. I know it's a spoiler for you because you haven't watched it yet, but it's only a teeny spoiler.
I can't believe you're doing this.
Come on.
Why are you doing this? I wouldn't because do it.
Okay, fine.
Oh my gosh, don't.
Because I don't think anybody's going to listen to the second podcast about me? About it. Fine. I won't say.
Don't.
How about plug your ears and go la 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 la.
Okay, ready, go.
Okay.
La la la.
No, forget it. It's no fun if I can't tell you. Forget it. Forget it. It's no fun if I can't tell you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so my favorite part?
Yes.
Was definitely the scene with Death.
Yeah.
100%, 100% a gajillion.
Yeah, I concur.
Death comes in this beautiful carriage, and his horses are these ethereal horses. They're like just light. That's all they are, is light. And he's in this carriage. And the first time you see him, she doesn't get to go to him. She sees him, and she goes running to him, and she's in this gorgeous red satin dress. And the second time she does, she gets there, she goes into the carriage, and she says, you're late. And there's then this whole banter between them that is so just witty, and you get he's the only person who gets her, but he's Death, and he's played by a rapper, you know, this guy, Wiz Khalifa. And he plays it so perfectly, and they have this wonderful banter, and she says, when are you going to come for me? And he said, I'm here for you right now. And she said, no, when are you going to really come for me and take me away forever? And he says, oh, you'll have a long time to wait. And then they just drive off. And that scene, you just have to see it, because there's something about it that is just, I don't know, it burns into your brain, and you think it was one of the most creative scenes, even though it was like 2 minutes.
It was well acted, too.
It was well acted.
I mean, I think that's part of what it is. It's when you get two actors that play very well off each other with beautiful dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it also made you realize, if you want to go a step deeper intellectually, that when she is saying how in love with Death she is not in love with the idea of dying. Like, she doesn't want to, she may be morbid, but she's not morose, if that makes any sense. So she doesn't want to kill herself.
Right.
She's not looking to kill herself. She just believes there will be this sweet release in death.
Right. And because she doesn't belong in the current existence in which she is living.
So that was really my favorite. And I would say that I also really, I can't stress enough how much I loved the fact that they used regular language. I mean, it is so much fun to watch because of that, because At first, we talked about maybe doing a Dickinson versus Bridgerton. When I asked you,
because you hadn't seen Dickinson yet.
And I said, can we do a Dickinson versus Bridgerton? And you're like, I don't think so. And I was like, are you sure? And you said, well, maybe. And I think that, so what I kept thinking in my head was, wow, how could this be a Dickinson versus Bridgerton? And what would Bridgerton be like if they were talking in just everyday English? It would be gross, yeah, almost.
Right.
But that's also because it wasn't written to be that way. But I just loved it. And I loved the music. And that's not music I normally like. And it was funny because I thought, could I like that music in real life? I looked it up. There's a soundtrack on Spotify. Mm. And I thought, could I like that? Would that be music that, like, getting up in the morning music or walking music or driving with my windows down music? Because it's really super upbeat. It's like club music, but not like electronica music. Not like,
yeah,
I know.
For me.
No, and I know. It's not really our thing at all, but it was so, I guess the point is, it was perfect for,
yes,
it was perfect
for the way they were setting
the show.
It.
Exactly.
And I think to address the whole Bridgerton versus Dickinson, there was something more mature about the story itself in the Bridgerton versus
absolutely.
Dickinson. And that's why 100%. The language matches.
I mean, I don't even know that I can say who the audience for Dickinson is because I feel like it's not older than us.
No.
And I would say that the audience for Bridgerton is everyone.
Yes.
Oh, well, everyone over the age of like 16.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Whereas the audience for Dickinson is like everyone under the age of 50.
Right.
Or 55 or something like that. But I don't think people like our mom or that kind of stuff. I think they just wouldn't even, they would be like, whatever, it's not worth it. But it is. And I watched two more episodes. I'm in episode 5 right now. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'm going to tell you there's another scene that happens that's kind of like that whole pop music video, but it's done so much better.
Do you know what this I could also say? I feel like this is the inverse of the Romeo and Juliet that was done with Claire Danes and...
Which I didn't see.
You never saw that one?
Mm-mm. But what's interesting, too, is it's like the inverse of Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes.
That has Keanu in it and Emma in it. And it is. It's you're using these modern day actors. Like with Much Ado About Nothing, they are speaking Shakespeare's English, but they're such modern day actors.
Right.
It seems weird. And they don't have accents.
Right.
And that is kind of weird.
That's so jarring.
Exactly.
Watching that. Oh my gosh. Watching that.
Right.
Was like,
yeah,
but it was great.
It was. And that's, so I think that that's the thing is this is great. And you're still surprised. Even in episode 5, I'm still surprised that they don't have accents. I don't think that is ever going to go away. I think every time you start a new episode, there's going to be something about it where you are just, especially when they use colloquialisms.
Right.
You know, I mean, they will use a turn of phrase that you would only hear now.
Right. Well, so, the fact they're like, let's have a house party.
Yeah. Let's
have a house party. Bridgerton, sorry.
Yeah. Dickinson
house. Dickinson house party like we did last year.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I would say that I really loved this. I really did. I didn't expect to after the second episode. I didn't expect to. I don't know that I love it as much as I love other things.
Okay, so stereo stars.
Do we have to give it stereo stars?
No, you don't. Okay, so how about...
We can give it stereo stars, but I feel that that's not enough because I don't want to be so... It's almost crass to give it stereo stars.
What?
Because the fact is, I would only give it 4 stereo stars.
Yeah, me too, 4.
But that doesn't mean that I don't love it. It doesn't mean I don't think that everybody should watch it.
4 is still a lot. 4 out of 5, is it still a 90%? No, 80%.
Teacher.
Sorry.
Dr. D.
What can I say in my math?
Yeah, okay, so fine. So I would give it 4 stereo stars.
Yo también.
And I would say for sure you should watch it.
Agreed.
It's so worth your while. I loved it. And
there's some parts I will definitely say it is not for an under 16 audience. There's some sexuality in here that's real.
Yeah.
But maybe 15, but I definitely, I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, you're right. Not for a preteen or an early teen, maybe. Maybe an early teen is okay. Not for a tween. It's hard to say, Dee. There's so much that they've already seen.
Or maybe not. You don't know what people are exposed their kids to. No, well, right.
But I guess that's the thing, is that you know your own kid.
So you need to preview.
Yeah, I would say preview through episode 2 if you're going to watch it with your children or child. I just really, though, want to stress that it is unusual, so unusual.
Yes, that it's nice that to watch. It's a breath of fresh air.
It is worth watching for that. I cannot say I will watch 2 seasons of it. I don't know what the answer to that is, because something might catch my eye and I will get pulled away from it and I might go back to it. I don't know, but I would definitely recommend it.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to thank you guys so much for attending this episode of Stereo Sisters, and I want to say something else before you do our sign-off. We are going to start doing some different types of episodes coming up. We're going to try and do some episodes where we pit shows against each other, so we're really looking forward to actually doing some movies.
Yeah.
We talked about doing some movies where we're going to pit some similar 80s movies against each other, where they're similar but not because they're from the same director. So I'm really looking forward to, and I think just to give you the teaser, one of the ones we were talking about doing is Real Genius versus Weird Science.
Yeah.
Because I think that that's kind of a fun combination. And so if you have any ideas of other movies or shows you want to hear us pit against each other, send us a message. I can't wait to hear. I know Danielle can't wait to hear either, but she's not the one who does our social media, so she won't know unless I tell her.
Yeah, because I don't know.
Right. So
I don't know what I don't know.
She doesn't know what she does. She doesn't know what I don't tell her.
Shh.
All right.
Thanks for leaving. These are the outtakes from the Stereo Sisters. No, that's not our name. Is that our name?
Yeah, we are the Stereo Sisters.
I can't remember. Outtakes. See, I talk now very loud because this is the way I talk, and I really like the show.
Miss Muffet. Wait, what is it called?
Little Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet, eating her curds and whey.
Along came a spider and sat down beside her
and scared little Miss Muffet away. Are you really sure you're too close? What did you think about how pretty she was? I loved her hair. It was so pretty.
Oh my gosh, who? Emily Dickinson?
Yes, Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah, Haley Steinfeld.
Her hair was so pretty.
Her hair was very pretty. She was pretty in general.
She was so pretty.
I recognize some of those rocks
over there. I think that you're lying.
No.
They're all mine.
No.
All mine.
All right, fine. You can just tell yourself whatever
you want. I will. I'm a truth teller.
They look lovely, though. So
I'm a truth teller.
Huh.
Sometimes.
I will.
Most of the time.
I will.
Sometimes I lie.
I will let you.
Just so you know.
Yeah, dude. I'm sure of that. But I mean, no offense.
Because I need to.
This has been Watch This, Not That with the Stereo Sisters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you did, please follow us on whatever podcast service you're using. We would also love for you to check us out on our Facebook page, where we do lots of fun live videos. Follow us on Instagram, even though that's kind of lame, but maybe you can help us make it better. And check out our website, where we're going to have lots of bonus podcasts that don't make it to our channel, where we interview the people who asked us to watch these shows and try and figure out why they thought we'd like them. We're happy to take your requests, so make sure you DM us either on our Facebook page at The Stereo Sisters or on Instagram at The Stereo Sisters Podcast. Our website is thestereosisters.com, and we hope to see you again soon.